Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to the Lord's house as we're privileged to worship God on this third Sunday of the Advent season as we celebrate the hope of the ever-increasing light of Christ's presence among us. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Please take a look at the flyer in your bulletin offering details about the warmth tree, the food pantry drive, the Christmas special collection, and also the Christmas Eve special offering. Your contributions to these ministries are certainly appreciated. Also in your bulletin, please take note of the flyer for registering attendance for the Christmas Eve worship services. Assuming that in-person services will still be permitted at that point in time, we are planning to offer three Christmas Eve services at 5 o'clock, 6:15, and 7:30 p.m., and we're asking attendees to please register by filling out the flyer and then placing it in the offering tray at the central entrance of the foyer on your way out this morning. Or you may call Carol or email the church office with your preference for which service you plan to attend. This year's Christmas Eve services will focus on the lighting of the Christ candle, but we will obviously have to forego many of the customs that we normally share on Christmas Eve because of the social distancing requirements. So again, folks, welcome to the Lord's house. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. God is light, and there is no darkness at all in him. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from every sin. And for this, we give thanks to God as we worship and praise his name. Amen. Let us sing our opening hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory. We'll sing all stanzas. It's hymn number 149.
From the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. You who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with us is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, you have seen the natal star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending, here among us shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Holy God, on this third Sunday of Advent, we give you thanks for the privilege of worshiping in person here at Berry Christian Church. We celebrate the hope of the ever-increasing light of Christ's presence among us. O Lord, as we do each time we worship together, we seek the living presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through your gift of the Holy Spirit, and we continue to anticipate the presence of hope in the flesh as we await the birth of the Christ child. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you before having your seats.
Good morning. Focusing our attention on the Advent wreath this Sunday of the Advent season, we are enamored by the ever-increasing glow that emanates throughout the sanctuary, as now three weekly candles are lit to declare the coming light of Christ's living presence among us. As the light of the Advent wreath increases with the glow of the third candle, we also notice that the candle's color changes from blue, the color of Christ's royalty, to violet, the color for repentance. As the light of Christ's presence symbolically increases with the lighting of the first two blue candles and this morning a violet candle, may we be inspired to seek repentance from that which separates us from God and be drawn ever closer to the light of Christ's welcoming presence. The light of the Advent candle wreath increases as Bryce Stamen and Gail Dakin come forward to light the first three weekly candles of the Advent wreath this morning.
On this third Sunday of the Advent season, we begin by lighting the first two candles of the Advent wreath. This year called the Candles of Promise and Expectation. This Sunday, as we focus our attention on the third candle, we notice that the color has changed from blue of Christ's royalty to violet, which is the color of repentance. Repentance seems like an unusual topic to explore at a time when we are rejoicing in the coming of the Christ child. Yet the coming of Christ's purity and righteousness puts a spotlight on the sinfulness that lurks within the shadowed motivations and actions of humanity. As we light the candle of repentance this morning, we strive to turn away from our sinful ways and be drawn into the brilliant light of Christ's righteous and great love for us.
Come surely, Lord Jesus, as dawn follows night. Our hearts long to greet you as roses the light. Salvation, draw near us as our vision engage. One candle is lit for the hope of the age. Come quickly, Shalom, teach us how to prepare for a gift that compels us with justice to care. Our spirits are restless till sin and war cease. One candle is lit for the reign of God's peace. Come festively sing while awaiting the birth. Join angels in dancing from heaven to earth. Wave banners of good news, lift high thankful praise. One candle is lit for the joy of these days.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, our sympathy is certainly with Kathy Gorman and her family with the passing of her husband, Ted, this past Thursday. A private service is being held here at the church at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. We also want to lift up Ruby Wolf, as she is going to be having eye surgery on Wednesday of this week for a concern with glaucoma. Betty Donahue will also be undergoing surgery that will be for the removal of cancer. We also want to lift up Sonia Rader. John and Sonia typically attend the service later on in the day. She is having kneecap repair surgery Thursday of this week after fracturing the kneecap as a result of a fall last week. Jesus Jacobo is actually making recovery now from his right wrist surgery on Friday and doing well. And Glenn Bartley is also recovering at North Kansas City Hospital from rather significant back surgery. A pain is a major issue for him. We hope he's able to see some resolution of that and some good healing in the weeks and months ahead. For the coronavirus, we continue to remember Catherine O'Neill and Wanda Luttrell as they are making good progress forward. For Ron and Teresa Wolf's family, their daughter Krista is recovering at home from the virus. We also lift up their son-in-law, Alan, and Teresa's dear friend, Deb Donegan, is home now and striving to work through the virus. But she also is dealing with pneumonia, right, Teresa, from our conversation earlier. Her son, Jason, is making progress recovering. We also lift up Deb's husband, John Bell. Michelle Jacobo's cousin, Rusty Daniels, is also recovering from the virus and hopes to return home from the hospital soon. And we also lift up Perla Mora's niece, Christina Ojeda. And Curtis would like for us to remember his brother-in-law, Bruce Blair, who has been dealing with the coronavirus since October. And that is also the case for Michael Wall in our church family. He's been dealing with the virus since October and is not able to go to work presently because he's still dependent upon oxygen. So number of concerns for people as we remember them in prayer. We also remember Rihanna Ralston, John Adams, Cindy Sexton's stepmother, Carolyn, Carol Studebaker's mother, and Luce Spencer. We remember Catherine O'Neill's daughter, Susan, Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat, J.C. Riddle, Susan Hank's daughter, Candace, Jean Cantola's friend, Marion, and Ellen Stewart's sister, Linda. So may it be with humble hearts that we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, for the privilege to assemble in your house to offer you praise, we give you thanks. For the promises of your salvation and infinite love, we are grateful. The months of 2020 have marched ever onward as the coronavirus has become an unwelcome companion for far too many families throughout our nation and the world. Thousands mourn the loss of those no longer seated at their dinner tables. Millions are plodding through the troubles and, for some, the dreadful disabilities of illness. Millions more are in want of basic needs from the economic downturn. Even as we may wish 2020 were over and done with, we are all too aware that the burdens and uncertainties we bear presently will continue to plague humanity well into the new year. Yet through it all, O God, may we as your children come to realize that our utmost dependence is not upon the ways of the world, but upon your divine intervention and care for us in body, mind, and spirit. We as individuals, we as a community, we as a nation, and indeed we as the world, are so very much in need of repentance. We need to turn from our evil ways so that your Spirit may lead us toward renewal, healing, and peace. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 reminds us that you are not slow to fulfill your promise, as some count slowness, but you are patient toward us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all shall reach repentance. So even as we strive to find a course of healing through vaccines and other medical means, may we also be drawn toward the spiritual healing that you so very much desire for us. If we will be drawn to your ways of fairness, justice, and peace for all your children. This we pray as we recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
What an amazing duet. Thank you, Andrew and Lenora. This morning's community reflection is inspired by scripture found in 2 Peter chapter 3. May we turn to our community reflection found on the last inside page of our bulletins. The Lord is not slow to do what he has promised, as some think. We wait for what God has promised, new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness will be at home. And so, my friends, as you wait for that day, do your best to be pure and faultless in God's sight and to be at peace with him. Our hymn of contemplation is number 161. I wonder as I wander, we will sing stanzas 1 and 4.
As I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ordinary people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander sky. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ordinary people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky.
The text I share with you this morning, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus went on into Jericho and was passing through. There was a chief tax collector there named Zacchaeus, who was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was a little man and could not see Jesus because of the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, who was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay in your house today." Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him with great joy. All the people who saw it started grumbling. "This man has gone as a guest to the home of a sinner." Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Listen, sir, I will give half my belongings to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay him back 4 times as much." Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house today, for this man also is a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're indeed grateful for the privilege to be here in your house on this third Sunday of the Advent season. Even as the poinsettias now also adorn the sanctuary, the brilliance of the colors of red and green, blue, and even violet certainly accentuate the season and remind us of your great love for us expressed through the presence of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. On this third Sunday of the Advent season, as was mentioned a moment ago, the candles of the Advent wreath have turned from the color of blue, Christ's royalty, to violet this morning, a color for repentance. Yet one may wonder, at a time in which we celebrate the coming presence of the Christ child, why would the Advent wreath have us pause on this third week to seek repentance? After all, Isn't everything really just fine in our relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Yet we must ask, are we really right with God? In truth, our grimy appearance before the Christ child may be far more sinful than we are willing to admit. We are so very much willing to compare our level of sinfulness to the ways of the world. And in such a comparison, we can easily think that we are Christian enough and thus appropriately prepared to be before the presence of God, right? In a dim room, we don't realize how dingy our appearance is until we see ourselves in the brilliance of the light of day. Our white socks, taken out of the washer and dryer, look white enough until we lay them beside a brand new pair. Then our old socks don't look so white after all, do they? So it is with our sinful nature when compared to the presence of the Christ child. Reflecting on the stories of the Advent season in which angels appear before humans, we note that in every occasion the people who experience the brilliant presence of God's angelic forces are so filled with humility and fear that the angelic hosts have to say to them, "Fear not." When Zechariah saw the angel of the Lord in the temple, Luke chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 tells us that Zechariah was alarmed and felt afraid. In the 13th verse, the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." When the angel Gabriel appeared before Mary in Luke chapter 1, and continuing, the text says that Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message. And in the 30th verse, Gabriel says to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you." In the 31st verse, "You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." While the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks in the fields outside Bethlehem, Luke chapter 2 tells us, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid." But then in the 10th verse, the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all people." The ever-increasing light of the Advent candles, especially as we light the candle of repentance this morning, shows forth an ever more brilliant light of Christ's living presence. Christ's brilliance reveals the dingy, sinful garments that are our lives here on earth. And as we look at ourselves, we realize that we are sorely in need of a good cleansing. We are in need of repentance. In our world, when one commits a wrong toward another, some believe it's okay to simply say, "Oh, I'm sorry," and move on, as if we are so easily forgiven. Yet, as we look at repentance from a biblical point of view, repentance really means not to just say, "I'm sorry," and move on. Repentance means, literally, to turn around. It is the remorseful recognition of the error of one's ways and the deliberate endeavor to change one's behavior so that it becomes a reflection of godly ways. And the turnaround of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 thus is one of the most succinct illustrations of such repentance in the Scriptures. And thus, this story is the best illustration for the third candle of repentance on this third Sunday of the Advent season. In Jericho, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He was at the top of his game. He was the highest taxation official sanctioned to cheat the Jewish people out of as much money as he possibly could. You see, the official taxable amounts were never really published. So, as long as the Jewish tax collectors collected what the Roman government required, anything extra was purely their own profit. And so they would tax that amount that they felt was just as tolerable as the people could manage. And our story tells us that Zacchaeus was a rich man. He had learned how to work the system to glean as much extra money as he possibly could from his fellow Jews. Thus, he was also truly despised by them. Yet, in spite of his significant wealth, Zacchaeus was also very lonely, a despised stranger among his own people. In Jesus, Zacchaeus was looking for something better. Thus, with zealous curiosity, the rich little man climbed up the broad hanging branch of the sycamore tree that hung over the road to which Jesus was approaching. Zacchaeus felt honored and was filled with pride as Jesus stopped, looked up at him, and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today." In Jewish culture, it was a great honor for a person to host a noted celebrity in one's own house. And as wealthy as Zacchaeus was, he could surely afford to provide a lavish meal, not only for Jesus, but all of his disciples and the other members who were Jesus' traveling companions. Yet, like the brilliant light of the Advent candles showing up the stains of our own sinfulness, surely Christ's very presence, his mannerisms, and even his compassion for Zacchaeus touched the heart and soul of this rich, lonely Jewish tax collector, and Zacchaeus finds himself compelled to repent, to turn around from his greedy and selfish ways. Even before the meal is complete, Luke chapter 19, verse 8 tells us that Zacchaeus stands up and he says to the Lord, "Listen, sir, I will give half of my belongings to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay him back four times as much." Zacchaeus is so transformed that his repentance in action. Up not only with words, but with a changed heart and substantive action that proves his transformation. Zacchaeus realizes there is more joy in giving away to those in need rather than to continue hoarding stuff for himself. Half of all he has, he declares, he will give away. And then Zacchaeus also declares the unthinkable, the fourfold recompense. By Jewish law, paying back four times what one has stolen was only required when the victim of the offender was bodily injured in the act of the robbery. Zacchaeus hadn't injured anyone outright, but the light of Christ's presence had compelled Zacchaeus to give the very utmost of himself to anyone he had cheated, and that he knew had been a lot of people. In truth, Zacchaeus was declaring that he is repenting, he is turning around his life, he is giving up his wealthy lifestyle to the benefit of his neighbors whom he had cheated for many years. And surely Zacchaeus may have likely lost his position as chief tax collector in the process. Yet, as Jesus declared, salvation had come into Zacchaeus' house that day. As we hear about Zacchaeus' repentance in action, as he dwelt in the glorious presence of Christ our Lord, and as the brilliant light of Christ's presence shines before us with the increasing light of the candle of repentance, may we be compelled to see the stains of our sinfulness for what they are. And may the grace and glory of Christ's glorious presence before us compel us to also turn around our lives, to repent, and to be Christ-like in what we do and say. And so, even though it seems unusual for the Advent season, here The third candle of the Advent wreath is the candle of repentance. And it is asking us to turn around and therefore truly be prepared to receive the Christ child with open hearts and open minds. As the text from our call to worship declared in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we live in the light just as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from every sin. Do you know Christ? If not, today is your day to come forward and make that confession of faith and turn your life around. Or maybe today is the day for you to come forward, become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church, as, by the way, my Gransdale did at the second service last week. So it was a joy for us to welcome him into our fellowship last Sunday. And so we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 159. There's a song in the air. We'll sing all stanzas, please. 159.
There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer, and a baby's low cry. And the star rains its fire while the angel choirs sing, for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy o'er the wonderful birth, for the virgin's sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. See, the star rains its fire while the angel choir sings, for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. We rejoice in the light and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throng. And we welcome the glorious gospel they bring, and we greet in the cradle our Savior and King.
Just want to mention again, even though the service for Ted is not open to the public, it's just going to be a private service because of all the restrictions that we have to work under. I do want to mention, however, that Jim is planning on recording the service, and Kathy has given us permission to go ahead and install that onto our website, similar to the way we install the sermon. So if you would have an interest in checking in this week, and listen to the service, maybe that's a way for you to have a connection with Kathy and her family. We lift them up in prayer in this time of loss. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we're grateful for the privilege to be in your house and to be empowered. For through redemption, we know we are renewed and given the privilege to dwell side by side with our loving Lord Jesus and share in ministry as we step forward in the task of the new week. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.